podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, welcome to another Touchdown Frackers podcast. I am your host, Lewis. I'm joined by, you know what, three brave gentlemen this weekend. Three very, very brave gentlemen this weekend. You know, we've had to contend with the petrol crisis, dropping points this weekend as well against rivals. Good evening. Good evening, Tobes. How are you? I've heard you just got home from Emirates Stadium now.
No, you know I didn't just get home. I got home.
I actually didn't know that.
You know what time I got home because I left the game early. You know that, bro. You're just saying this.
Wait, what are you saying, Lewis? Tap out Tobes.
How many times are you going to bang this shit joke for your stupid dude?
But it's funny every time, though. It's funny every time.
How many times
are
you going to bang at this joke?
No, but it's funny.
As many times as I can, brother. As many times as I can. Cool.
It's too sweet. You lost as well this weekend, you know, but fine.
It's too sweet, I swear.
And obviously, you heard the voice of Babs. How you doing, man? Loving the do-rag that's going
I'm
on
happy,
here.
I'm happy, man.
It's a wonderful pattern on the do-rag.
Thank you, man. I wish listeners could see it, but yeah, man, I'm in a good mood, you know. Obviously, the result didn't go our way, but football's still football, so I'm still happy.
Football's still football. Meads, how you doing, man?
I can't complain too much. Obviously, didn't get the result we wanted, but yeah, I'm upbeat, man. I'm upbeat. That's for real. I'm upbeat.
Hey, listen, you have to be upbeat in life, man. You have to be upbeat in life. And I'm wonderful today. I'm wonderful, you know, because there's nothing like 3 points in the North London Derby. For my money, this is like the best London Derby, right? It might even be the best derby, actually, in terms of like historical historical games, the matchups, the back and forth between both teams, you know. Not too much in history, because Spurs haven't won anything for God knows, but you know, in recent history they've got the better of us, and you know, it's kind of been topsy-turvy in terms of where we finish in the league. So for my money, it's the it's the best derby. And
yeah, it is.
You know, both teams came into the game today. You know, managers under somewhat differing pressure. Obviously, Nuno has just arrived, and Arteta has been at the helm for 18 months now. I think it is maybe just a bit, a bit over 18 months. So, but pressure on both managers. Tobes, like, I know you weren't really confident heading into the game, and you were there today. I'm not too sure what time you left after the game, but
you make me sick, I swear to God.
what was your thoughts going into the game, and you know, did things pan out how you would have hoped?
Absolutely not. Of course they didn't pan out how I hoped. We were 3-0 down within like 30 something minutes. We're 3-0 down in a North London derby, in a game where you literally have to play beyond your capability and play with some sort of heart, passion. You know, all the cliches that they say in football, you have to play with that in the North London derby. And we played with 0% of that and got our asses handed to us in the first half. Oh, you're right. I wasn't expecting Spurs to win because we never win here. We always crumble. I don't know whether it's the occasion. I don't know whether it's the atmosphere. I don't know what it is, but we always crumble here. And we've not even beaten you here. We've not beaten you consistently, here, even when we were a good side. So now we're a bad side and we're coming here. You've said it a million times. Most of your fan base have said it, that Arsenal aren't a good side. I've seen worse teams on paper come to your ground and work you. And we couldn't even do a fifth of that today. So to answer your question, it didn't go how I imagined it to go by any stretch of the imagination today. We were fucking awful.
So what are you putting it down to, Toes? Because the thing is, I've watched you guys this season, yeah? And, you know, the games, I think I've seen you in probably 3 or 4 of your league games this season. And yeah. I haven't been impressed despite results. You know, I kind of expected it to unravel, not in this fashion.
No, unravel is the right word.
Is it three? Oh, right, obviously you got a goal today. So 9 goals conceded in 3 games. Is that right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what is this down to? Is this like is this factors coming back from previous regimes in terms of management, or are these problems unique to the Nuno regime?
It's not unique to the Nuno regime, no, but it is alarming that he's losing. Even Jose didn't lose three games, 3-0 or three, conceding three goals back to back with a worse defense, because we've improved it with Romero and whatnot. But
why doesn't he play?
Michael Bridge made a great point today. Not one of the signings we made in the summer started today. And to be fair, we didn't really sign many players, but the obvious player that should have started, he didn't start, Romero. He should have started today. But anyway, the issue isn't just a Nuno-specific issue. I think Nuno is a problem in the sense that he does not play the way that we need our team. He doesn't set us up the way we need our team to play. But fundamentally, it's not Nuno's fault that this team's shit. It's not Nuno's fault that this team can't keep possession. It's not Nuno's fault that we have a lot of players who are mentally weak and come to this ground and crumble. It's not Nuno's fault that we have a lot of underperforming players that just don't want to be here and are giving us 0 out of 10 performances. But it is Nuno's fault for picking some of the players. It is Nuno's fault for playing shocking players in positions that they've never really been good at. It's Nuno's fault for not being able to coach us well enough in possession.
You mentioned there that there are players, not singular, that, you know, just don't want to be here and obviously playing poorly. Who may these players be? Would I care to speculate? Obviously, Harry Kane.
Such a slimy guy, bro.
Exactly. Yo, and you I make love me it. Sick. I just you make me so sick. I swear to God. You're literally.
Hey, I didn't want
to
assume.
Slimy. That's what you are. You're slimy.
I didn't want to assume, man. I didn't want to assume. But you mentioned players, so I'm just wondering who else to add to the list as well.
Yeah, because Ndom didn't want to be here. He probably still doesn't want to be here as well. He was trying to leave in the summer. But yes, the main player I'm talking about is Harry Kane. Mm. He was awful again today. And he was
padlocked again by Gabriel and Ben White this week. Actually, interesting.
Ben White didn't padlock anyone. He should have given away a penalty as well. It was a stonewall penalty that they didn't give. But again, I wouldn't know because I didn't see it in real time because, you know, I wasn't there. But yeah, Kane don't want to be here, and I feel like he just doesn't care anymore when he plays, and it shows. Like, he's just so languid, so...
Can you blame him, bro?
You're right. I can't blame him.
I think you can blame him.
How can you... Okay, Babs, I want to hear this. How can you blame
Harry Kane for signing a... How long was the contract essentially? Sorry, was
it... No. Why not even talk about a contract? I could put that to the side. I could park that. But can you blame him for feeling demotivated?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you signed the contract. You signed a contract at your employer. You do the job. You do your job. It's that simple. Yeah, if all of us here were unhappy at our job,
you trying to leave?
Yeah, I would try to leave. But if I've signed the contract for X term...
No. The thing is, when you sign an employment contract, whether you sign it for X term or not, you can cut that contract short if you want to. You know what I'm trying to say? If you didn't like it, you try and leave. Ultimately, Harry Kane doesn't like his current place of employment and he wants a dip. He's not been able to. So he's naturally going to be affected by this because he feels tied down and miserable. I blame him for signing that contract, but at the same time, I can't blame him for feeling demotivated, knowing that he's going to be at Spurs for another year, not going to win anything, not really going to challenge for anything. So he's just feeling like, what's the point? I get that. And that's
it's very unprofessional, though.
He might have been feeling this for the last couple of seasons.
And to be fair, the terms of what he signed the contract, he may have been expecting Tottenham to really mount a... Obviously, we got this brand new... lovely stadium, by the way. It's an absolutely lovely stadium. You know, it's beautiful. But, you know...
Some might call it a playground, though.
Well, yeah. It's what it is, right? But, you know, the provision that he signed the contract on, you know, things may have changed. You know, like, he may have been promised certain things... You know, certain ambitions were maybe, you know, met, or, you know, this was what they were striving to do, and it hasn't been met now. So maybe, I think Kane may be well in his right to be like, yo, look, you ain't held up your side of the bargain. I ain't here to finish seventh for everyone.
Also, just to add to that, Lugo, They got Jose Mourinho, and Jose was this world-class manager that they were supposed to take into the next level. Then they've gone and got Nuno Espirito Santos.
Hey, Meads, I told you about this guy, man. He's shit.
Yeah. What? Like, you know what I mean? That's like a massive downgrade. Even a Finnish Jose is better than this guy. I don't think anyone could deny that. A Finnish Jose is better than this guy. So the drop down in level, you think Jose is worse than
No, I said I won't deny it. I want Jose gone. And I don't dislike Nuno, but he's just not the right fit, bro.
Mm-hmm.
No,
it
was, you know, watching Spurs tactics today was like, I knew Arsenal could be the easiest team to play against, right? Meads and Babs, you were testified to this. You've played us already this season. I know it's slightly a different team. We've got some of our players back and we definitely look more solid. We'll get into Arsenal in a minute. But, you know, there isn't a team in the top six, right, or the traditional top six, top seven, top eight, whatever, that teams would rather play against than Arsenal, right? We're the team. You look at Arsenal
We are the team. We are the team.
But exactly, this week, today, like this team, you know? There was no plan.
We've been this team for like 18 months now, bro. We're a team. Barring a few good results and a few good months under Jose, and even then, those months were overstated. We've been this team. We've been this team that have a soft underbelly and are easy to beat. And back on the Harry Kane point as well, I totally get it. In addition to us blocking any attempts for Man City to sign him, we've gone into another season not strengthening the squad and putting the right pieces around him. But like Bab said, he is contracted to us, and he... At least, even if it's not for the club, at least for yourself. Today is a North London derby. This ain't no normal game that you should be towing and throwing over. This is literally.
Gotta show some passionate desire, man.
Bro, this is the game. I am a passion merchant, 100%.
But Harry Kane is the top scorer. Do you think Harry Kane tried though?
I don't think he played well.
I don't think he played well, but. I don't know if it was an effort thing today. Like, for example, there was a point in the game where I think he lost the ball on the edge of the area, right? No, sorry, it was the Saka goal. It was a Saka goal. I've actually got a serious point, right? Kane lost the ball on the edge of his own box, right? Clamped by Partey. And somehow he made his way back into the Arsenal box.
Yeah, and tried to tackle him. I get that. I commend
exactly.
that.
But that's not a player to me who's like given up. He was actually really unlucky. He made a great tackle and a great block.
His performance, and again, I'm not trying to say Kane was the worst player on the pitch today, because I don't even think he was, but his performances this season have not been good enough. Yeah, I know you didn't want to leave, but you hold yourself to such a high standard. We hear so much about his professionalism. We hear, like, you have been performing at this level for years. Why are you sinking to this level? Because you didn't leave. Him playing this badly is not going to change anything. The club aren't going to sell you in January. You're not leaving until earliest next summer. So you playing badly is only going to work. It's going to work to the club's detriment, but it's also going to impact him as well negatively. Like, surely you care about what people think of you as a player. You care about what people think about your professionalism. And the way you're going about things now is poor, bro. You can't play like that in a North London derby. You can't play the way he's been playing this season. He's our best player. He's our best player, and he is literally playing like a sack of shit. Aubameyang is a striker who is the polar opposite for Harry Kane in terms of what he offers outside of goals. He's not someone who builds up play. He's not someone who can make those passes, etc., etc. But in absence of his goal today, Aubameyang in the first half gave our centre backs problems, bro. He was pressing from the front. He didn't let them get any time on the ball. He's beating Sanchez in foot races. Like, he's linking up well with Emma Smith Rowe. Like, he's performing like how we expect Harry Kane to perform. So I have every right to demand a suitable performance from Harry Kane, win, lose, or draw.
I don't deny that you should have those requirements of young Harry Kane. But listen, we'll get onto the winning team today, yeah? Because, you know, I've been jumping at the bit. I wanted to talk a little bit about Arsenal. Meads and Babs, Toby's obviously given his analysis of the game and how it went. How did you see the game? And, you know, was it, did it go to plan how you thought? Did anyone particularly surprise you? Or, you know, Meads, I'll come to you first.
So I caught the game. I was on at the background because I really didn't care about the result. And it's one of them ones where, I won't say recently, but yes, but last two seasons, I just really haven't cared for these games. They guarantee you goals and a bit of excitement, but it's just on so that if I see a goal, I can pam someone. Like, really intrigued. I didn't really care too much for the result. I thought the game could go either way because I thought you're both equally bad. But I did think that Arsenal coming into this game a bit more, well, slightly more form. I think Arsenal won two of the last two matches. And Spurs lost a year. Spurs lost their last two. And I also saw Spurs against Palace and they made me sick, like really, really sick. So I thought if Arsenal had enough energy and intensity, they could damage them. I didn't expect Arsenal to come out with that approach. And so I'll give credit to Arteta for actually being brave, because that's not really words I can really use to describe Arteta. But he was brave and knew that that's a way to punish Spurs. And it worked. It worked. Spurs were really toothless, gutless in midfield. That midfield is so bad. That midfield's got nothing to it. Nothing at all.
And Dobbelin and Eulberger.
Yeah. That's a really poor
That was the midfield that the Spurs were calling for, no?
And I mean, somebody said that Højbjerg's a top player. I was like, that's scary, That's scary. He's mid as hell, bro.
Nah, Xhaka level. Remember we said Xhaka level, Tobes. I think you're finding that out.
He's better than Xhaka. Let's not do this.
Is he?
He is better than Xhaka. Let's not do this.
For me, it's a toss up. I don't think it is a toss-up. Yeah, because Shaq had a good Euros too. Like, Shaq had a good Euros.
He did have a good Euros, but if I asked you to pick one of the two, you're not picking Shaq at Leeds.
I'm not picking any. I'd go without a midfielder. I'm not picking any. I'd go without a midfielder.
Højbjerg was rubbish today, but that's not how
I don't rate him. I'm the worst person to talk about Højbjerg because I just don't rate him whatsoever. Not a good player at all. And I don't think he's a where Spurs want to be. He shouldn't be your midfielder. Like, in my opinion, he just shouldn't. Where Spurs want to aim to be, Højbjerg should not be your starting midfielder. And like, guarantee first name on the team sheet all the time. No way. That's crazy to me. But so it didn't go as I expected. Ah, boy. Maybe it is, but I just don't see him. I don't see a border in there at all. I wouldn't say it went as to plan, but I just thought if Arsenal got the approach right, then yeah, they could hit them up. I felt like for Spurs to really win the game, they needed to be very physical and match the intensity and rough up Arsenal centre-backs. I don't know why Harry Kane gave Ben White the easiest game of his life. I could not believe it. Where was the intensity? Where was the, like, you didn't want to fist man up. I didn't get it. It was poor from Kane. Poor.
He didn't have much luck against Gabriel last year, you know.
But that's what I'm saying.
He's tried his luck with Ben White.
Is that saying of the striker play off the weaker centre back? In this instance, the weaker centre back. Yeah, the better of him.
Scary, really scary stuff from Kane. And obviously, there's lots of talks about Harry Kane being finished. I don't know if he's finished. He just looks a bit. He just looks suspect. He looks suspect right now.
I think that's the police right there looking for Harry Kane right now as we speak.
It was a criminal performance.
The missing persons unit, yeah?
Brother, it was terrible. It was really, really terrible. But who else was... Son was all right. Lucas Moura looked okay, I guess, in the second half.
Hey,
but
that Lucas guy, man. Yeah? If I was to ask you what position he played, I genuinely don't know, man.
I think central everywhere.
Yeah, Arsenal were excellent in the first half. I said, I can't speak on the second half, but in the first half,
it was a training game. Really, there wasn't anything.
The intensity dropped quite a bit, and funny enough, right? Spurs came in, and I thought it definitely could have ended up in a draw, just by
how many shots they had.
Talking about Arsenal performance, I was really, really impressed with that by Tomiyasu. I thought he did a really good job with that inverted and fullback role. I was surprised though, because I know a lot of Arsenal's on build-up tends to be off the left, but I thought you actually had a very, very good balance between them, attacking for your left and right. I thought Saka did a good job today. I thought Partey was really, really good at breaking down play. I mean, a top, top player. I know a lot of people make jokes about him, but hey, man, let's be honest. This guy is a top, top quality DM and probably one of the best in the league. And yeah, it's I'm not going to lie, it pains me slowly to see Arsenal have him, but you know what makes you a bit happier? We know we're going to see him for probably like 12 games in the league. It's probably going to be at another festival. So hey ho, you know, swings and roundabouts. But yeah, on a more serious note, I thought Arsenal did a quite good job today. I thought Odegaard was a bit underwhelming.
I thought it was all right,
but I wanted a bit more from him, man. Like the player he is, you know, he's supposed to be your flagship signing, you know, in that attack. And I felt like Saka and Smith Rowe, I thought they did a very good job. But I thought Odegaard was all right, but I thought Saka and Smith Rowe were standouts.
You know what, though, Babs? I feel like it's a bit harsh because of the style of player Odegaard is. He isn't super intense.
Yeah,
with Saka and Smith Rowe, they're very high energy noticeable. And like busy, but they're busy bunnies. Like they're about. Whereas Odegaard is quite like he's like precise and very like cute with his play.
That being said, though, no player worked harder than Odegaard on this pitch today. I'm telling you, he was fucking everywhere. He was so good, and it's not a good game that you'd expect.
Yeah. I think that's what I was gonna say. Like Arsenal rose to the occasion. Do you get what I'm saying? They knew the importance of
the game,
and they brought the fight. Like I felt everything Arsenal did well today, we didn't do well. Like when we were in possession, our centre backs couldn't build, our full backs couldn't build. Our centre backs can't build anyway, even if you don't put them under pressure. But adding the fact that Aubameyang's on their toes, adding the fact that Saka's on Reguilon's toes, adding the fact that Emil Smith-Rowe and Tierney are on Tanganga. All you saw in the first half was us just booting it long. Fucking kicking it long because we had nothing. When we tried to play through midfield, we didn't want to do it. Our Ndombele, you know how much I like this guy. Ndombele hid today. Like
He hit on that left-hand side, man.
He hid so much. Like, this is two consecutive performances now. At the Emirates last year, gutless performance from him and Højbjerg. And this season again, they've gone there and they've crumbled. Like today, I was genuinely shocked. Like I can. Last season, he tried some stuff and he played bad. He lost the ball, etc. But today, hiding on that left hand side, every time he got the ball, he'd pass it back to Højbjerg. He'd pass it back to the centre backs. Didn't want to probe. Didn't want to press. Didn't want to actually try and disrupt Arsenal's shape. With the obvious quality that he had. And when you couple that with Højbjerg's no-show in midfield and disaster class, and Ali in Mr. Invisible, man. I forgot Ali
was playing.
The interesting thing, right, you mentioned that about... I was going to call him Oilberger in the back, but...
If you call him that again, I swear to God, I'm going to South London, I'm going to strangle you.
On a more serious, I was going to say...
No, it's not happening.
Do you think he should be playing as deep as he is? Because
he's not a DM.
Because for me, he's more of a ball-winning midfielder. So when you see him play there, he doesn't look comfortable. You can see that it really doesn't affect your build-up. I mean, a player like Ndombele, whereby you want him in like a bit more higher up on the pitch, how does he get the ball? So I feel like that's a bit more of like a problem on the Nuno side.
I think Højbjerg does. I think if Højbjerg does has affected our build up positively for Spurs, and we've seen it before. But he was doing a good job for us in the deepest role in the first part of last year. But second part of last year, he struggled. And I think when you saw him for Denmark as well, and even in Southampton, he was never never used to sit in Southampton. He used to seek and destroy. And I think. Yeah. I think that role for me, it suits him more than a deep liar. And I think the obvious solution for that from Nuno's perspective was to play Skip deep and let Højbjerg do whatever he needs to do. But I'm focusing back on Spurs and I didn't want to do that. I felt Arsenal were superb today. Thomas Partey, excellent. Excellent.
Excellent, man.
Top draw midfielder. And I've always felt this about Thomas Partey. Emil Smith-Rowe, I told Turkish midweek that this guy's going to turn up. I know he's going to have a good game today. It's just a case of whether Ndong can match, and he didn't. He didn't. Odegaard turns up again against Spurs. Fair play. And even Granit Xhaka played well today, but it's just...
You guys are letting him turn so easily out of the press. It was just annoying. It was pathetic.
It's just so frustrating because Arsenal's midfielders played well today, but as I said, whereas they were 10 out of 10, we were 0 out of 10. Mm. Everything that they did in possession, we couldn't do. Everything that they did out of possession, we couldn't do. And I just don't understand why. Why did we show this team so much respect?
Mm.
Like, why? Yeah. No disrespect, but Arsenal are not a good side.
No, we're not. And we've shown that over the last 18 months that we're not a very good side. But one thing I would say, this starting lineup, I consider this team that we put out today to be our strongest team, right? And I was quite impressed with what I saw today. This is probably the first time we've had this whole bunch of players on the same pitch together. And I felt like it gelled very well. The only position, obviously, I have a concern about really is I feel like Xhaka is very redundant in this midfield now. We don't need him. Partey does everything that he does with way more quality, way more intensity, just everything is way better from Partey. So it's kind of like redundant having Xhaka in the midfield. So, it's disappointing that we couldn't upgrade from Xhaka in midfield because, you know, that's a real problem area for us. But I quite like the balance of this team. Like you guys mentioned Tomiyasu. I thought he was so solid today, man. Exactly. I was going to say, you guys seem like you signed the wrong right back, right? You guys were linked with him for a large part of the summer.
I wanted us to sign him and play him at centre-back. We should have signed this guy. And
he looks like he'd be good at centre-back as well, even for us.
He'll be the perfect repair for Romero as well.
This is what I said. I said Romero is the brawn, aggression, and then Tommy, cultured, technically assured. Like, why didn't we do that? Because we've got nincompoops running this fucking club.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm really happy with the signing of Tomiyasu. Obviously, bringing Gabriel back as well. Gabriel has been a colossus this season. Literally, like, it was
quality.
He only started playing in the Norwich game, I think, was his game back.
He was excellent at Burnley as well. I watched that.
Yeah, he was absolutely brilliant. You know, like, I watched Vestergaard get absolutely terrorized by Barnes and Chris Woods on yesterday. And Gabriel weren't having none of it. Like, he is one of those old-fashioned brute force defenders, no nonsense, with a little bit of quality to him, you know? He can pass the ball a bit. And he's only 23 years old. And this is the thing about this Arsenal team. There's some good players in there. And it's down to the manager to get a tune out of them. And I don't think there's much of an excuse for Arteta because this is his team. This is his team now. You know, he's got the goalkeeper that we spent 30 million on, who I wasn't a fan of. But he was fantastic today. He's been fantastic since he joined. And you know what? I'm buying stocks on Ramsdale. I am buying Ramsdale stocks. I don't give a shit.
You know what? Do you know what, Rams? Everything I was concerned about.
He's ticking it off as we go along.
You know what it is, yeah? Lewis would be the worst stock trader in the world.
We'll see.
He just
see
a little bit of promise, and he just goes all in.
The thing is, though, it's not just a little bit. It's not just a little bit. He's been brilliant in every game that he's played. Burnley, fantastic.
He's played three games.
Yeah, weren't you a bit worried by the
five games?
He's played five games. You can't just judge you can't just say that a player is just gone like that over five games.
No, I'm buying stocks. I'm saying, but what I'm saying is, when we signed him, I was so anti-decided. I couldn't understand.
What were your initial worries, and how has he alleviated them?
So I thought he was like the worst goalkeeper in the league or something. Do you know what I mean?
But I mean, he was statistically the worst keeper.
He wasn't statistically. When I looked into the statistics, he wasn't. He was a mid-table goalkeeper. He was a mid-table goalkeeper by the metrics. And you know what? And don't get me wrong, there are still question marks over the shot stopping. We haven't conceded that many shots.
That strong goal, I think he should have done better there.
What? It was from 6 yards out.
Was it? No. I think he could have done better.
I'm telling you right now, watch it back, and I guarantee you.
The reactions you need to keep that out.
I think he could have done better. I think a top keeper does better there.
I think maybe that's a bit harsh, but I feel like once you get a hand on it,
but it's more of a reaction hand, isn't it? I don't think so.
Maybe, but I don't know.
It's pammed at him as well.
Yeah, it's right up and close. I don't blame him for the Sun goal.
I don't think it's even a blame thing. I think it's just more about could he have done better.
Yeah, fair. I felt like he made like a really sick. I saw the replays when I got in. I don't even know who took the shot, but he made like a really sick
the save. Deflected shot but, that he flicked onto the bar. That was a fantastic
but
save.
But my thing though is I don't think he's like the reasons why I don't think Ramsdale is a good goalkeeper are for his bozo gene, like his ability to just let shots that shouldn't really go in and just do some crazy shit off the cuff. And I don't think I've seen in, like, he started well at Arsenal, started very well, but I don't think I've seen enough for me to then say,
All I'm saying is, I'm not saying he's amazing. I'm not saying he's world-class or anything like that. All I'm saying is I'm buying stocks because he is nowhere near as bad as I thought he was. Nowhere near. Shitting myself when we signed him. Literally shitting myself.
Lewis, we're going to come back to this in 6 months.
That's fine. That's fine. But
and we know where you're going
to
be.
You know what? I'm happy with Ramsdale. I said it. I'm happy with Ramsdale. I like him. I like his character. I like his leadership. I like his commanding. I like his kicking. His kicking is so good as well.
Because he shouts and he's... Is he Norman? Yeah.
Fuck it. I love this shit. I love football like that. I love it. Shout out your defenders. Yes, I do. And you should know all about that.
You can me in a Discord for being a passion merchant. You said,
oh. Yeah, but that's because you were like, oh, well, the fans are worth like three goals.
I'm pretty sure you criticized me for being a passion merchant.
Wouldn't we?
Okay.
I do remember that, Tobes. I remember the importance of the fans. I remember that conversation.
Yeah.
But you wear a Spurs shirt everywhere. So like, I saw you in Mykonos with your Spurs tracksuit. I don't understand. It's 30 degrees.
I saw it too.
You saw it. I saw it packed away in the suitcase. I saw it in the suitcase. He bought it just in case. I don't know why. 30 degrees, you know. Nah, there was absolutely no
liar. God will punish you for these lies.
But yeah, look, I just want to round it up by saying, look, I was really impressed by Arsenal today, as much as I was really deeply concerned by Spurs, not really concerned at all, really. But you know, it's just nice to see, you know. I think I said this Nuno guy is a bum, you know. He's like, oh, no, he's all right, man. Look what he did with Wolves. He's not a good coach. He had a good team with Wolves, got them promoted, had a decent first season, you know. He had good players at Wolves. Let's not pretend that you don't have good players.
I don't think Nuno's a bad manager, though. I don't think he's a bad manager.
I don't think he's good. I would be leaning more towards bad than good.
I don't think he's a bad manager at all. I think he's been a fine, not like elite, but I think he's been fine as a manager in the Premier League generally. I just, as I said, his style of play, like his prominent style of play in the Premier League, is just not conducive to this team. Like, we can't afford to play like that because we literally can't do it. Jose tried it; it didn't work. Why are you bringing in a Jose like?
I still don't get those appointments, man. Like, when you look at Tottenham, you guys have always been like a high energy team. You know, you guys like to be pressing in your opponents' faces, and you get two managers that want to be counter attacking, sitting back, and it just, I don't know. It just doesn't align with this "quote unquote" Spurs way or whatever. Like, I don't get it.
The Tottenham way or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, is that the West Ham way?
The West Ham way. Yeah, it's all the same fucking shit. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the Chelsea way, because you know, it was interesting to see City pull up on you lot at Stamford Bridge yesterday and have like 70% of the possession and absolutely just murder you. That was a slow death yesterday, man.
You know what it was? I just felt like probably from minute one, we saw the approach. Like, before the kickoff, I was like, because pundits were talking about, oh yeah, Chelsea are going to defend. And I was like, hey, have they not seen us play like, against City? Like, we never really just sit back against City. And I just felt like, we handed them the initiative and played into their hand. But two, that approach was just all wrong. The way you beat City is not by sitting back and then just allow it. Just doesn't work for us anyway. And I didn't think that the formation change helped at all. I understand the rationale to play Kante, Kovacic, and Jorginho, but I think Dan made a perfect point the other day where when you do that, you're matching up with City's midfield. Usually when we play Man City, we play the 3-4-3 and we have two midfielders in the attack and then they drop back and they overload that midfield area and we just dominate and then we break on them in transition. But it was just poor. Everything was poor. The approach was poor. Tactics, I think tactically Tuchel got it wrong. There was minimal energy in that midfield, so we couldn't even evade the press. City just had more energy, more quality. And although I didn't think City were that great, I just think we made it very, very easy for them, if you know what I'm trying to say. It was very disappointing. I think City, I wouldn't even say City had a gear really to go into. I just think we just weren't great. First half, City, we limited City to minimal chances because I don't think they actually did anything. They kept the ball well, they pressed us well. But in terms of creating attacking moments and threats, they had like one or two max. But beyond that, we were pretty comfortable. Mendy didn't have to make a save in the first half. Second half, I just feel like, again, I thought after the second half, we're going to try and get more intensity into the game. You're realizing that this sitting back approach ain't working. And you just try and have a bit more high energy, try and be a bit more direct to move to give it to Lukaku. But yeah, just poor quality. It was just all really just poor from start to finish. You know what I mean? So after they got the goal, which was a good goal, by the way, then you kind of get a little reaction when Ruben came on and who else came on? And Havertz, when they came on, it's like a little bit of reaction, but it was just, for me, it was just too poor. By the time City scored, I think that was a game over for me.
Yeah.
Was this more of City like suffocating you to not give you a decision on how to play, or was this like a conscious choice from Tuchel to play this way and only have one shot in the first half?
I think it was definitely from Tuchel, man. That's the first time I can generally say we've actually seen him, like, not out and out say, but technically say that this side and this manager are better than us. I've never ever seen us concede possession in the way we did mm-hmm. yesterday. You know, normally we're a lot more engaged in the press. We're a lot more happy to actually go toe-to-toe with an opponent physically. And yesterday, we just like completely set off. We allowed them to play their game. And for a manager, right, that everybody calls Tuchel like, he's always been a proactive manager. He's never been reactive. But the early moment he actually made the change was when we actually went 1-0 down. Maybe some of that is down to the fact that we had to make an early sub because of Reece James being injured. But I still think there was a lot more that he could have done to adapt the shape, to adapt our line. Because the moment you allow us, the moment you play that that deep block against City, you're basically allowing five midfielders on the field to have a jolly up. Like, you can't do that. You've got players like Foden and Bernardo who just enjoy those tight spaces. They're going to have fun. Even Jesus, like that goal, not many players are scoring. Like, you were just able to get maneuvering the tight spaces and score. And that's just a benefit of the players that City have.
Yep.
So, I mean, when
remind me again, because I can't remember. Who was the player that he twists up for that goal?
Jorginho. To be honest, I don't think it was terrible.
It wasn't even Jorginho that got... I think it was a shimmy from Cancelo that got away from Jorginho. No, that's wrong. He got away from Werner, I think. He skirted Werner and then tried to shoot and then...
Rudiger's foot.
And then he managed to just shift it. And then, I want to say,
again, bad day for Jorginho, though. Right? Bad day.
No, I don't. You know what? I don't think it was the worst. I thought he was meh. And he apparently was carrying a knock, whatever. I don't think he was like. Kante was terrible.
Kante was awful.
I rewatched the game. Kante was really bad. Not only was he bad in terms of closing down the space, I thought he was really the things that he does amazingly. I don't think he was great at all. But Kante is usually a very good weapon for our counter attacks. Like, he wins the balls and just gets it, and we're able to progress up the pitch. He was so bad with the ball, like, probably worst I've seen for a very, very long time. So he wasn't at it. Kovacic tried. Like, first half, he wasn't. again, he wasn't all great. He kept getting run off the ball, but
I think C just did a really good job of neutralizing the midfield as well.
Yeah, can we speak on? I was going to mention Rodri. I think he
Rodri,
was.
Rodri had a good game.
Yeah, he had a good game. To be honest,
I don't even think it was that.
You know what it is? You know what it is? It's not even hurting me. No, do you know what it is? It's not even hurting me. I don't recall anything great these guys did. I'm being genuinely honest, and I watched the game again. I don't recall anything great these guys did. The only issue that, and the thing that I was bothering me was the quality in our passes. I didn't think that these guys were going the extra mile in terms, of, especially the defensive midfield, going the extra mile to clean up. It was just poor quality from us. For example, Lukaku turns off Laporte, puts him on the floor, and then he's about to. Werner's making a run off of Diaz. That wasn't a good interception. That was just a rubbish pass. So those moments kept happening all the time.
How was new and improved Lukaku anyway? How was he?
I think in the first half, he barely touched the ball. He touched it like 20 times the whole game. And he played all the 90 minutes. First half, he had two moments for me where it was just poor quality. So one time the ball gets fizzed up to him and poor control. And to be fair to him, he did not get a kick for about 15 minutes. Like, he was not touching the ball for about 15 minutes. But when the ball came up to him, he has to make it stick because at that moment, it was 2-2. And if he manages to turn, it's game on. But ball bounces off him and then City get back on the attack. Not even really attack. They just regain possession. And then another moment after that where he manages to hold the ball successfully, turns Laporte, puts him down. And then again, that pass that I told you about, just passed it. Like, he rushed the pass. He didn't have to. Yeah. He could have taken his time and then composed himself and then get the pass off. But because we weren't seeing that much of the ball, I think he felt rushed. So when he turned, he just tried to get rid of it straight away to Werner, which was a bad decision because he passed it straight to Diaz. And it was just, just a mess, man. But second half, I think it was a lot better. He just kept bullying Laporte. But there was nothing really around him. Timo Werner was shocking. You can run for days, but when your quality on the ball is not there, it's rubbish.
Let me ask you guys a question, because obviously, given the success that Tuchel had last year, you guys won the Champions League. We had a great run under Tuchel in the league, where you really improved your league position, and you came into this season as being one of the teams that everyone thought would challenge for the title, and give Man City and whoever else a real go at it, right? Yeah. So, after seeing this game play out, are City still the favourites to win the league this season? And number two, where do you see yourselves in the title race?
I don't think it makes City as favourites, to be honest. They were fantastic with the press. Very, very good with the press. Very good at keeping the ball. But again, I still feel that they're quite toothless, if I'm being honest. Whilst they got the goal, I still think they were quite toothless. The only time they really got opportunities to kind of score more goals was when they were in transition. And that's when we were forced to come out. I don't think that City are automatic favourites. Of course, as their champions, you probably give them the edge ahead of Liverpool and us. But nah. And in terms of that performance, I could chalk that down to just a one-off where Tuchel just got tactically wrong. And you get those in times. You can get managers that are consistently amazing, but managers are going to make some wrong decisions. So I'm not panicking. I don't think it's too much of a crisis, really. He got it wrong. He got the setup wrong. And he conceded that. The thing is with me, I'm more respectful. And I love a manager that can come out and say, you know what? I actually kind of got this wrong. I might have fucked this up. And he could take a slap on the chin and take a slap on the face and just say, yeah, you know what? All right, cool. We move on from it. And that's the kind of feeling that you get from Tuchel, where even if something is wrong and even if something looks a bit poor, he'll tell you, yeah. He ain't going to mask it with lies. He'll just say, yeah, that's kind of poor from us. We go again next week. So we'll see how it goes, man. I don't feel any less confident about our title challenge after that match.
Yeah, I think just me, humble Spurs fan, outside looking
I'm still gonna camp when I can.
But I actually think Man City I don't think they were toothless. I think they were just profligate, because I felt like they, I felt like even in the
what's the difference?
The difference is, I think, Meads, were you saying that they didn't create chances, or are you saying that they just weren't able to finish?
No, I don't think that they created that many clear-cut chances. I think that they had two real moments of quality where Grealish cut in one of the only times you managed to get past any Chelsea defender that day, and you managed to sneak a shot past.
Was that Mendy, the Mendy save?
Incredible save from Mendy. Tipped around the corner, and another time where in transition, again, they passed it through to Grealish, and Grealish couldn't get past Mendy. Again, world-class save.
But I think with Man City, yes. So that's what I mean. I think I disagree with that, because I think they were profligate. I think Man City didn't have their finishing boots on, because they, for me, they had several openings to dead this game. I remember there was one. Jesus had a shot that was literally blocked off the line, and I know
Thiago Silva, I know it was
like they were picking you off, etc. But I felt like Pep basically played. So if you look at that team, the midfield. So he obviously Gundogan didn't play, did he? But Bernardo, De Bruyne,
Foden, it was Rodri, Bernardo, KDB,
Foden, and Jesus.
Yeah. Grealish.
So I felt like Pep Guardiola, when he last played, you know, obviously Champions League final, he didn't really play a holding midfielder. I think he reverted back to his usual guy.
I will stop you there. Because we played them three times last season. First game, we played with one DM. Second game, we played with two DMs. Third game, we played with no DMs. So this whole palaver about, and he lost all three. So this whole palaver about him not knowing about the midfield and no DM stuff, he tried all three and got pammed all three times.
But
this is my point. I think it's all about approach. It wasn't necessarily about their midfield being better than ours. I think on the day, City's approach was better. They were far more intense. We were just not. And I feel like, again, it's not necessarily just about the DM thing, in my opinion. I think
I'm not saying it is. I'm saying that I think that was one of the, I'm saying that's one of the things that he changed. But what I'm saying is, overall, I felt Man City, if they had their finishing boots on, I think the conversation we'd be having would be very different. I think they had enough chances to make that scoreline embarrassing.
They definitely had 95% of the game was like basically
if Mendy isn't Mendy and you had Kepa in goal, for instance, I don't know how good or bad Kepa's been the past year or so, but I think we'll be having a different conversation.
Maybe, but if my aunt was my uncle, then she'd have balls. Like, you know what I mean?
Fair enough. But Babs, I want to ask you the same questions. Same questions that I asked Meads.
About the title challenges,
basically, Man City, are they still the favourites based on this performance? And you know, where do you stand? Meads didn't actually answer that question, but
for me personally, I don't think it changes anything. I still have the same.
I didn't answer.
Not where you stand in the title challenge.
Yeah, for me, I said we're still going to be one of the favorites.
All right, fair enough. I wanted like a ranking.
We're still joint favorites for me.
I wanted to nail you to the mast. Joint favorites.
No, we're still joint favorites. Yeah, for sure. I'll say along with Liverpool, City, and us.
Cool. For me personally, I don't think it changes much, because I still have the exact same worries I've had throughout last season going on to now, in the fact that we don't really create enough clear-cut chances for me. And added on that now, which has been compounded, is the fact that we've seen Lukaku raise his game, but the two tens around him, they've been disappointing this season especially. They've been very, very disappointing. And you've got Werner as well again. I don't think it was actually that bad yesterday. You know, I don't think Werner was actually that bad. I thought he made a couple of dangerous runs, but I think he could definitely have been a lot better on the end of the ball.
Let me ask you, what's not that bad? What did he do good for you?
He made a lot of stretching runs, like the runs from Lukaku.
Is that the benchmark of a decent performance?
For Werner, yes, it is. Unfortunately,
let's not do that then. Let's not do it for Werner.
But you can say that, right? But we haven't seen the same from Havertz and Mount in terms of making these stretching runs to test defenses. I don't think we've seen enough of them.
They're not strikers. So
they're not. Werner but
is a striker.
I get you, but we've played Havertz in a split striker, for instance.
And the whole point
of having those two guys to play off Lukaku is to help stretch defenses.
No, that's not. This was the first time we have done the split striker system. Yeah, the first time. officially from the start.
Officially, yeah. Officially.
It was poor. It was poor. And largely that's because Timo Werner was poor as well. Like, Lukaku barely got a sniff. So I can't even heap that much criticism on Lukaku. Maybe my only criticism that he didn't get involved in play enough. But Timo Werner, I can't praise man for making runs. That's crazy to me. That's nuts.
That's literally what he does.
That's
hey, man, look, man, that's what he brings to the team.
That's what he brings to the team.
It stretches defences. You know, that's it was crazy. A big part of us last season. And you know just how much I've disliked this guy.
Listen, him stretching defences is part of a striker's job. Like, that's part of a striker's job. What? You can't say he wasn't that bad if that's all man did and everything else was poor quality. Like, no. Come on, Babs. Be serious, bro. Like, no, man. Nah, man.
You know
Timo,
what, bro? I think...
Timo, on a level, Timo is just not good enough for Chelsea. We just put it that
way. Yeah, no, we both agree to that, but I still just think that the fact that he made those runs... Like, let's say Lukaku made a better... Let's say Lukaku makes a better pass there. We may not be saying that, you know.
What does the team score?
I don't know. I'm not going to come up with that.
I don't think
either of them had. Like, I don't think Werner played well, but to be honest, I don't think he's played well generally for Chelsea. But I don't think either of them had any ample support. I don't think because of your tactics. I don't think Tuchel showed any.
But you know, a big part of that was as well, right? I think City. And their two fullbacks, they did a very good job of pinning back our wingbacks. Like Cancelo and Walker didn't allow us to get a sniff. And those two, especially Alonso in the attacking positions, that is a big part of how we attack. And I think they did a good job in that aspect in terms of keeping Aspi when he moved up to wingback and Alonso pinned back.
Final point, Lou, before we move on. Again, this is what I mean about approach. It's quite telling that our wing backs were unable to affect the game because we didn't have two wing or forwards, wide forwards. We had none. And with Lukaku and Werner being central, if they had to move wide, they're still able to penetrate us through the middle. When you play two supporting attackers with the 3-4-3, your wing their fullbacks don't know whether to stay or go. So they're always going to be on edge. They're always not going to try. They don't know if they could pin the wingbacks because then it gives us a 2v1 versus their fullbacks. If we had the wingbacks and the wide forwards. So I think like just tactically, I think Tuchel kind of got it wrong still. But here's what
got
it is.
You. Got you. Let's move on to Liverpool. You know, Liverpool, obviously, you mentioned them as being like one of the joint title favourites. And they actually do sit top of the league at the end of this weekend, despite, you know, a 3-3 draw against Brentford, which was just a ridiculous game. Like, do you know what? Big up Brentford, man. Because they've come to this league severely under-resourced, like, in terms of their budget compared to, you know, other Premier League teams, even teams that, you know, they've, you know, Norwich came up and Norwich have got a way bigger budget than them. Who else came up? Norwich and Watford have spent hella peas on players. Do you know what I mean? So listen, they're severely under-resourced and they're giving this Premier League a really good go, man. They've lost one game so far in their six games. I think they've played they've played a few of the big guns. Like they played Liverpool, they played Arsenal, they've played Villa. You know, they've played some tough games so far, and they've got you know, 9 points, I think it is. You know, they're doing so well. So, yeah, big up them. I think they stay up, personally. I think they've got enough about them. They've got enough character. I think they know exactly what they're doing. They've got weapons that are going to hurt anyone at Griffin Park or I don't know what the Brentford Stadium is called nowadays. But
another German manager, shout out German.
It is the Brentford Community Stadium, bro.
Oh, how creative. How creative.
Nothing every day, still.
No,
they're definitely a good team. That being said, I remember in the group chat not too long ago, it was about a week ago, when I was saying, look, Van Dijk doesn't look as good as he was before. And I don't blame him because he had a big injury. So he's going to be rusty. And people are like, nah, he looks perfect. He looks fine. He looked the same player. I'm like, you lot are idiots because you're being blind. Just don't let results blinker. Or let clean sheets blinker your eyesight. Because I've been seeing Van Dijk looking shaky. Liverpool fans have also been seeing Van Dijk Van Dijk being shaky. But because they've not conceded goals, it's not too much of a problem. They're just hoping that he kind of gets up to speed as more games go on. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, he wasn't good. Like,
no,
he wasn't good. He was very, very sloppy.
Him and but Trent he did make were...
Yeah. Him and Trent were... Oh, but Trent is Trent, bro. Like, I don't know how many times...
Even Matty, man, as much as the cop ain't not giving praise, he was bad as well.
Do you know what, though, Babs? I have to give Matty some degree of, like, sympathy, bro. When you have to consistently be covering for Trent Alexander-Arnold for an inability to defend, you're going to make a mistake eventually. You're going to be poor eventually. Yeah. You can't be 100% all the time when man is at 50 every time. Like, it don't make sense. Matip is only he can only do so much. When Gomez was playing outside, that's why he started to struggle. Gomez started to struggle because he kept overcompensating for Trent and looked shocking. So, yeah. Oh, man. Anyway. But, yeah, Van Dijk didn't look good. Trent didn't look good. So, obviously, if you've got two out of your three or two out of your four defenders looking bad, you're in trouble.
Yeah. Obviously, Liverpool didn't have any issues scoring goals.
Why are we calling them Liverpool? We should be calling them... what's that thing on...
McDonald's, bro.
Those spoils. And Brentford were the big bad Gustavo Fring, boy.
Their goals are good though.
That was a proper strike for Ivan Toney, man.
The first quality. Yeah. I think that Brentford, they just physically like it's mad. They for a team that plays such good, like they play such positive football.
They're here for it.
Like they, yeah,
man. There's a lot of PMP in that team, man.
Like, they're here for it.
Listen, exactly. I saw it in the first game, man. Like Ivan Toney, and I'm actually relieved to see that him doing it to other centre backs as well because it kind of scared me.
Apparently,
I'm seeing him do it to other people as well, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You know, he is a bit of a monster.
5'11" He has a leap on him, man.
He's just got a ridiculous. And they've got players in their team who are just. They're tall. I don't understand. Yeah. Like Ethan Pinnock is like 6'9", bro. Like, well, like why, you have no business being that tall and being a footballer. You know, it's
like even it's that. What's his name? Frank Onyeka. I remember there was like a moment where like Mane was like running through. And I had Mane like you know like body space. This guy literally just shoved him. I was like, whoa! Like they're proper. Like they're here for it. They're here to play.
They're all here to play. And they've just got some really good players like Mbeumo.
Bueno.
Yeah, he looks really good. You mentioned Onyeka, Sergi Canos looks really good as well. David Raya is a keeper, by the way.
Yeah.
He's a keeper.
He's got some nice distribution as well. Yeah. And there's another centre mid they have.
Is that Canales?
I don't think it's him. I think he's a number 27. I need to search
the guy who scored the goal, Janel.
Yes, Janel, he looks really decent. He looks really decent. So like, it just shows you that their scouting network.
Crazy.
It's doing the job like they are basically FB Ref FC. You know, they do a lot of data work and clearly it's working for them.
100%. Just going back to Liverpool, obviously, this is, you know, a bit of a blip in the road for them. They would have expected to go to Brentford and get 3 points. Any thoughts on Liverpool's display, really? And, you know, how. Oh wow! What was that? Someone's takeaway is here. Tobes, I'll come to you actually because I asked Babs and Meads about the title challenge question. Where do you put Liverpool in the whole title debate? And you know, who do you have as the favourites?
I still think Man City are the favourites for me. Slight favourites. I think the improvements Chelsea have made to their attack in Lukaku, and the improvements Man United made to their attack and Liverpool getting their players back is just going to make it a much more competitive title race. But City, I would still say I'd edge them ahead. It's weird. I actually predicted Man United to finish second, but Man United, I just feel like they have too much individual quality in that team, but. As we've seen in some of their recent results with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, his deficiencies will always, in some cases, they will overrule the individual quality which they have. But Liverpool are going to be in the title race without a doubt if they can keep all their players fit. I know people look at the Chelsea result, they'll look at Brentford, et cetera, et cetera. But Liverpool, for the most part, have been
have been top notch this season.
Devastating, yeah, and, they have. Like, they've been the best team for my money,
bro. Like they've. I know Mead said what he said about Van Dijk, but I actually think Van Dijk has been. I think he's been calm this season. I know he got panned the other day, but I think he's been calm this season. I think they've missed his distribution from the back is fucking quality. Mm-hmm. And then I think Trent, I know he had a tough game, but I think he's been well this season. Robbo's back.
Yeah, he's had a good start.
They proper ganged up on Trent. I felt a bit sorry for him, man. They ganged up on him. That's just an excellent game plan, man.
It's just a good game plan.
Exactly. I think Liverpool is pretty clear. Like, it's pretty clear what the issues are. Yeah. They lack quality and depth, but their first 11 can beat anyone in the league. So if they can sustain the squad from start to finish, they'll be in the title race. But I'm still going to back Man City to win it, even with a striker.
Obviously, you mentioned Man United. We'll move on to Man United now. You know, I do love these false dawns from Man United. You know, what they call it? 21 and 45. Right, 21 and 45. Listen, it could well be because, you know what? Just keep Ollie at the helm, man. Keep Ollie at the helm until 24. He's young enough, isn't he? He's young enough to stay that long. Yeah, man, I love these false dawns from United because it's, you know, they start to worry me a bit. And then I just realize, you know what? This team just is not that good. You know, they're not that good. And I don't think they've really rectified any of the issues that they had from last season. You know, their deficiencies still remain the same. They don't, you know, they struggle to control games defensively, still a bit shaky, I think, even though they've signed Varane. You know, Villa had the best chances yesterday. I don't think Man United really created anything other than, you know, the penalty. This from what I saw from the highlights anyway. Villa to me looked like they could have scored 2 or 3 at least. 100. You know,
they were
and, you know, they and this is the thing. Man United fans, they talk about the heritage, you know what I'm saying? And when they get like these lucky decisions or these things that go their way, but you know what? Football is a game of variance, right? I'm gonna put my analytics hat on right now. Okay, there's only so much you can get away with. There's only so much random shit that you can get away with, or players pulling things like magical things out of their ass that you can get away with. Sooner or later, you need some kind of consistency of quality. You need some kind of, you know, consistency and performance to actually get somewhere. And I don't feel like this Man United team has that. You know, there doesn't seem to be any strategy from Ollie. And I personally love to see it. I really do love to see it. But yeah, I'll come over to you, Babs. What was your thoughts on the United game?
Mm. Well, I mean, obviously, you know, the game was at the exact same time as the Chelsea game, so I didn't get to catch it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
I only saw a couple
weird,
highlights.
Weird, by the way, that day too.
Yeah, that was very weird. Apparently, it's the first time it's happened since 2009.
Right.
So that's a random fact of the day. But yeah, I mean, just about United throughout the season, what I've seen, I think Luke Shaw... He's had a bit of a Euros hangover. I don't think he's had the best of starts this season.
Back to the old Luke Shaw, eh?
Yeah. And it's like Mariah put exactly. It's like Mariah put excellently, man. Like a lot of people are getting carried away, but he said it very well. You know, look, let me see it over a calendar year. This level of performance, let it not be a purple patch. And it does look like he's regressing to the mean. I mean, obviously, I did see he came off for an injury, so I'm not going to judge him harshly. But even then, I still don't think he's had that impressive this season. And as you said, they haven't really rectified their main issues. You know, they're looking for this DM, I call it this magical DM. You know, the DM that they think that's going to allow them to play Pogba and Bruno in the midfield with him. Whoever that DM is, I'm going to say he's going to be drowning. He's going to be drowning because I don't know how he's going to do all the defensive work by himself while simultaneously, you know, progressing the ball up the field, while simultaneously, you know, covering for other deficiencies. I don't know who this guy is, but, you know, listen, man, I'm open to any suggestions. But yeah, like there are a lot of problems with United. And as you said, man, the process, like I don't know what Ollie's actually building, you know, in terms of football. Like in terms of culture, you can see it. You know, you can see like the players are happier. You know, everybody's talking about, you know, this great atmosphere at the club, which is all nice and so. But at the end of the day, football is judged by results. You know, we've seen them being bounced out at the Europa League final, the Europa League semi-final, the FA Cup semi-final. To us and Leicester, you know, we've seen them being bounced out so many times at critical moments whereby it kind of like lets you think like, okay, yeah, he's built this amazing atmosphere, but where is this ruggedness, this toughness that we've seen from Man United over like the last 20 years. Like, where is it? Like, I don't know what he's actually building in terms of football, if you get what I mean. You know, and I feel like we will see it this season. It may be something similar to Frank Lampard last season, whereby, you know, he was unwinded by all these, you know, brilliant new signings that he met when and did. You know, it may be like Ole may struggle to get the best out of some of these signings, you know. I've already been hearing a lot of complaints from some United fans. You know, a lot of them are complaining now also about Wan-Bissaka. You know, I heard Elijah's wonderful rant about Wan-Bissaka for the Young Boys game. And yeah, it does seem as though, like, as we go along, they're finding more and more deficiencies. I don't know what's going to go on then, but hey, long may it continue.
United fans are just as guilty as every other club of overrating their players, right? They've done the same thing. They tried to... Listen, we just spoke about Trent and, you know, his deficiencies. But there is no way in hell Aaron Wan-Bissaka has ever been close to Trent as a right back.
Facts.
There's Facts. Not a world that it was ever a remote possibility, you know? Nope. And, you know, Man United fans are just as guilty of doing it as everyone else.
Yeah.
You know, go on.
I was going to say, I think with Man United as well, yeah, like, it's just, like Bab said, it's just so haphazard, man. I've tried to defend Ollie where I can, but he's just... Mariah tweeted the other day, he goes off, he said he's taking us as far as he can take us, thank you Ollie. And I responded to him, I said I don't believe there's any sincerity in that thank you. I don't believe it, because the way you've spoken about this guy,
no,
you wouldn't be wishing him well. But I get his frustration, and I get United fans' frustration as well, because their team, you can't have an abundance of talent like this and still be going life and death with teams that are, no disrespect to Aston Villa, because they're a good side and they'll probably beat us next week, but Man United are significantly better than Aston Villa, man for man. They are better. And you're literally, and Aston Villa were full value for the 3 points. It's not even like, oh, there was
at any... At Old Trafford as well.
They were full value for the 3 points at Old Trafford. Something is wrong here. And it's like, there's the midfield balance needs to be figured out. The attacking balance needs to be figured out. The defense still needs tweaking as well. Like, Man United was 3.5 seasons in now. Is it 3.5 years now with Ollie being there? And Man United still don't really have an identity, bro. They have no blueprint that they can just repeat over and over again that can stretch over the course of the season. Yeah.
Their blueprint is fucking get into Pogba and hopefully he'll do something. Get a penalty and score the penalty. That's their bloody blueprint. It just didn't happen this week. They got the penalty, but Bruno proceeded to, just a very violent penalty. I'm not too sure what was going on.
I saw a lot of people mention the fact that, you know, the moment Ronaldo came into the team, they removed Bruno from the FPL immediately. And hey, listen, man, the results are exactly speaking for themselves.
Are you surprised, though, that Ronaldo isn't taking...
I'm very surprised, man. This is the guy that people say, you know, he steps up in the big moments. You know, he's the lead on the pitch. And I'm never having a dig at him. I'm actually never having a dig at him. But we literally saw Emi Martin to say, "Hey, come on, big man, you take the penalty." Hey, he didn't look like he was up for it, man. He didn't look like he was up for it.
What are you trying to say? Martinez put the fear in his eyes, yeah?
Hey, man, Messi sending his YGs to go put in some work, man. Messi sending his YGs to put his work.
And Bruno was doing up the biggest Queen speech for his apology. Like,
bro, that shows me just how rattled he is by that miss. Do you know, he put a speech at midnight, I think it was. The statement was literally at midnight. Like, legit, I don't know why he did it, but fair enough, innit, man.
It was on his mind, because he made such a fuss about taking a pen. And then he missed it.
Just on a serious note, though, do you guys consider Man United to be title challengers? I mean, for me personally, it's hard to overlook them because of the amount of striking power they have. Like, we could talk about their deficiencies, but they actually do just have enough to get by with Ollie being a bum. You know, you could be as shit as you want, but if you've got Cristiano Ronaldo, Pogba, Bruno, Edison Cavani, Mason Greenwood,
Rashford when he's back.
Bruv, there's so many goals Sancho in that
as well
team.
When he wants to join the party.
I forgot about Sancho. We don't talk too much about bombs. Well, so.
859 or 757, something like that. I can't remember his name.
Bold guy. Yeah, bold guy.
Golden
boy.
Man United were never out of the title race for me. I think they're definitely going to be in here, for sure. They finished, I know people say next last season wasn't a true reflection of the season, and there is some truth in that, but you can't overlook the adjustments they've made to their squad. You can't overlook the players they had in their squad to begin with. Of course they're going to be in within a shout of winning it, but
yeah.
You just don't expect them to do it because of who is at the helm, and they probably won't, but they'll be there and thereabouts, man.
Long live Ollie, man. Long live Ollie. And big up you mug a lot for actually showing face when you finally lose a game in the league. Like big up you lot for coming on the pod and, you know, representing. You know, you did a mighty fine job, but we know the vibes, innit? We know the vibes.
You know what's funny? It's usually Chelsea. I feel like it's like roles reversed now, because Chelsea, we've had two Chelsea lot. Members join the pod today, and it's like it's weird
because do you know the thing is, right?
Because of
where the studio is, right in East, right? I live in Croydon, so that's an hour and a half for me to get there. So this petrol crisis is working in my favor right now.
Well, I'm pretty. You traveled an hour and a half for Blacklock when we had lunch, so you traveled.
That was 45 minutes. That was 45 minutes, bro. That was 45 minutes, brother.
But not to wax through.
That was 45 minutes, brother. Okay, that was 45 minutes.
Listen, don't argue about Toes of Time, because he knows how long it took him to get home from the Arsenal game today after leaving early. But anyway, let's talk. I want to finish on Leicester, actually, because I just want to have a brief conversation about them. You know, they've started this season very, very, very poorly. You know,
shakily, yeah.
Considering we just spoke about how poor Arsenal have been this season, how poor Tottenham have been this season, Leicester
are below both. Yeah.
Won two games out of six, and Leicester haven't had an especially tough start to the season, I don't think. Like, I know they've played Man City,
West Ham, Man City, Norwich, and
Brighton,
and Burnley,
and Burnley. And so, out of those six games, you would have thought they would have got more than just the two victories.
Mm. And they've got players back as well, man. They've got Ricardo back, you know,
They have. They're practically full strength. No, I mean, obviously no Fofana.
Yeah.
But you know, they've got their brand new shiny centre back, Vestergaard. You know, partnering Soyuncu, and you know them two don't look particularly clever. They don't look particularly clever. I think Soyuncu's been poor for quite a while now. Actually, you know, he had a very good start.
Where, like, when it comes to like stuff like instant, like stuff like, you know, like a quick slide tackle, like amazing. But when it comes to, like, a striker like bearing down on him or like a counter attack situation, I've seen him give up so many fouls. You know, weird positioning. I don't think he's a terrible defender. I think he's just at that level, at the lesser level. If you get what I mean, I don't think he's terrible.
So what is, when you say Leicester level, what is the Leicester level? Because is this a
top six? In the top six, yeah.
So do you still expect Leicester to, despite this poor start, do you still expect Leicester to be in the top six and contending for top four this season? Or do you think because I'm looking at them and I'm just thinking, maybe is Brendan, has he reached the ceiling maybe a little bit?
Yeah, I know it's a good question, right? And it's weird, right? Because sorry to interrupt you, but he's gone away from a method that worked last season in the split strikers, where he had Iheanacho and Vardy up top, and he's dropped Iheanacho. He's never played his new striker, and he's gone back to like a different system, and they've struggled to score goals. They've struggled to break down teams, and what was working the last season, they've just like completely lastly like moved away from it, which is another thing that I turned that note in my opinion as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's done the correct thing. You know, when you want to spice up the team a little bit and, you know, maybe bring a team to have a new ceiling to punch through, you invest in like young, ambitious players. So like, obviously they bought Patson Daka, Samare, Yannick Vestergaard, Ademola Lookman. You know, they've bought players that, you know, I would want, not Vestergaard, but, you know, some of those players there I would want in my team. So they've certainly, you know, improved the squad. They've improved the first 11. So I'm just wondering, like, is maybe Brendan Rodgers maybe just in his final like push at Leicester, but do you think that maybe there's what am I even trying to say?
A ceiling. Like,
maybe he's hit a ceiling.
I don't think so. I think there's two things. I think defensively, I don't think Leicester have had a good start to the season. I think some of their defenders, Soyuncu and a few others, are making weird individual mistakes, and they're just like a little bit more open than Brendan would like them to be. But I think in terms of attacking quality, I don't think they've been that bad. They played Brighton the other week, and I think, did they lose to Brighton or draw to Brighton? I can't even remember.
They drew,
but they deserve to win that game. They had like two.
No, they lost. They lost to Brighton.
It was 2-1. No, they had a goal disallowed, wasn't it?
Yeah, they had like two legitimate goals disallowed.
Yeah, that's it.
I think it's not panic stations yet for Leicester. I think Brendan Rodgers...
It's quite early to judge as well, to be fair.
Yeah, Brendan Rodgers is going to turn it around. It's only six games, bro. Spurs were top of the league 3 games ago, and now all of a sudden we're minus six goal difference. Like, I think it's too early for me to suggest that Leicester... There's issues with Leicester this season, man. And I think they've got a couple of good players that they signed this summer that are still in the process of gelling into this team. But yeah, obviously the early season form is a bit concerning, but I think they'll bounce back, man.
What's bounce back though?
Start winning games.
But like to what extent? Like to where do you think? Where do you think this Leicester team should be finishing?
They'll finish top six, top seven this season.
The top six battle is looking good, man. I'm even thinking
shout out Brighton, man. They've had a very good start to the season. If they win the game to a nickel top of the league.
Listen, Brighton,
it's about time they start putting away.
They're cashing on that XG, man. Slowly but surely.
Brighton are a good side, man. They're a good side, just they don't have any quality. You know, they've got a few nice little players, but they've scored 7 goals in 5 games. You know, it's, you're going to be in trouble if you don't score goals because, you know, when the luck goes against you, which it was last season, man.
Tell that to Nuno.
Listen, we'll let you do that too. But anyway, we'll call it a night. It is getting late. We did say a 45-minute pod. It's now been an hour and 16 minutes. So,
hey, man, we just want to treat our listeners, man. Treat our listeners.
No, 100%. But I'm tired. So we'll call it an evening there. We hope you've enjoyed the pod. Thank you for tuning in. Use the hashtag and all those kind of things. Babs, Tobes, and Meads is gone now. He had to dip. But thank you for joining me and enjoy the rest of your weekend, chaps.
Cheers.
Cheers, bro.
Take it easy. Sports Social Podcast Network.